Good afternoon. I just realized as I was sitting back there and looking at the program that I am the senior speaker this weekend. And it doesn't seem like too long ago that I was one of the younger ones. In fact, Milford asked me yesterday when I came in, he said, "You remember the first time you were here?" And he gave a lesson, said, "I remember that." And he said, "What was it?" I said, "I can't remember, Milford. What was it?" And he said, "Well, I can't remember it either." So I felt better. So anyway, this shows, you know, Keith, I'm using technology now. You know, I've always spoke from notes, but the notes get a little bit hard to read, and now I've got a teleprompter. But no, I do feel a great responsibility at being a senior in the church, a senior leader, and it's an awesome responsibility, and it's a little bit scary. Because we try to pass on the wisdom and the information that we have learned as we worked in the church over the past 50 years or so. But anyway, I really appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts on a topic of very vital interest and importance to me as a elder of the flock of God's sheep. And you know, I would be very surprised if there's a congregation represented here today that does not have problems with wandering sheep. And I would also be surprised if there are more than a very few of you who have not been wandering sheep in some degree at some point in your life. Well, I'm going to introduce my lesson by reading the instructions given to me by the worship committee, I think they were called, the ones that selected the topics, and they did a very good job. And I also want to say to all of the younger speakers and all that have, it's very encouraging, very encouraging. The topic you have been assigned is wandering sheep, why we leave and how to stop it. Many of us have felt the pain of seeing a dear brother or sister choose to leave their walk with God and follow the paths of the world instead. At one time, they cherished a relationship with their Lord and with the church, but for some reason, they wandered away from the fold of God. And they listed five questions that we are to consider this afternoon. Number one, why do we wander away from God? Number two, what causes us to leave the safety and blessings of God's people? Number three, is lack of attendance a symptom or a problem? Number four, do we leave because we want other food or because we're not getting fed? Number five, what things can we do to avoid being a wandering sheep? Some verses you might consider in your studies include Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10, 2 Timothy 2, 9, and 1 John 2:15. Now, you know, this is a great topic. I was thrilled to get this topic. As being a shepherd or being a under-shepherd, as an elder, this is something that I needed to study. And it's been very good for me. I've put in many hours on studying this. And, of course, as I get older, I have to do that. But these are really some very excellent questions that need to be answered. And so I'm going to do my best in the next 30 minutes to provide you with some of my humble insight on wandering sheep. However, to allow adequate time to cover the primary topic, I'm going to briefly comment on question number 3 and 2 Timothy 3:9. Now, it's not because they're not important to the welfare of the sheep, but they just broaden this subject matter a little bit beyond my allotted time. So I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Question number 3, is the lack of attendance a symptom or a problem? And my brief answer is, lack of attendance is a symptom of a problem or problems. And therefore, it's my opinion that lack of attendance should not be the sole reason for disciplinary action without addressing the underlying problems. Because I can't imagine a faithful member being slack in attendance without having some other kind of problems that need attention. 2 Timothy 3:9, as was suggested, is a reference to the wicked people in the perilous times of the last days. And certainly elders must be aware of this situation and guard the flock against it. Because these are people, it was talking about people of corrupt minds and worthless faith who oppose the truth. And they're actually wolves camouflaged as sheep. And shepherds must be trained to readily identify these intruders and remove their threat. Now, these false teachers are not wanderers, but they are marauders with maligned intent. And just one quick thought in this regard. I think it's very important that elders recognize the distinction made by Jesus in Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 47 and 48. And this is concerning punishment for those who wander in weakness and for those who knowingly choose to be troublemakers. Those who wander in weakness must be shown more leniency and understanding, while those who obstinately choose to disobey must be dealt with quickly and sternly. Now, since our lesson is an analogy of Christians compared with sheep, we need to understand that since God is the author and originator of both the natural and the supernatural worlds, it's only fit that he uses the same basic laws and principles and procedures in revealing his will to us human beings. Of course, the 23rd Psalm is a good example of the contiguous understanding of the spiritual truths with the physical realities in regard to Christians and sheep. And, you know, unfortunately, time only permits just a few references to the very interesting nature and characteristics of sheep, which are very contiguous with us human beings. I like a quote from Philip Keller's book, and I imagine most of you are familiar with it. It's entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. I recommend that book. But he said, sheep do not just take care of themselves as most people suppose. They require more care than any class of livestock. In other words, very intense attention and meticulous care. And he said, it is no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. And he continued, the behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Our mass mind or mob instincts, our fears and timidity, our stubbornness and stupidity, our perverse habits are all parallels of profound importance, close quote. You know, most of the time during this my lesson, I'm going to be using the terms sheep and Christians or members sort of interchangeably. Now let's look at question number one. Why do we wander away from God? You know, I think this addresses our Christian relationship and interaction with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's very important because our status as faithful sheep or wandering sheep really depends upon our relationship with the Godhead. And actually, the idea of wandering sheep is diametrically opposed to walking circumspectly before God and man, which was the topic of this weekend meeting. You know, walking circumspectly is living in an exact manner. That is, accurately and diligently adhering to the will of God. Wandering, on the other hand, is the idea of roving or rambling, which can be caused by various situations in life. You know, it may be lack of attention, commitment, or direction. And these certainly are not walking circumspectly. Or it can be distortion of vision caused by poor perception or by lack of proper training, which can cause one to walk out of step, that is, disorderly, or in a mistaken way. the wandering sheep that we're discussing involves the roving of the mind and thoughts that actually leads a believer away from the shepherd. And you know, it's very important to understand that wandering can be impacted not only by spiritual and moral regression, but also by emotional, mental, and psychological disorders. And in my experience, this can greatly complicate successful remediation of wandering Christians. And also in those situations, it is so easy to make a wrong human judgment. Therefore, much prayer and wisdom from above are requisite to every step of action. And yet, when we human shepherds err, it should be in favor of mercy. You know, the wandering of a sound mind is a serious and dangerous condition because it can lead to death. Proverbs 21 and verse 16, it says, "A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead." And I think it's pretty well known by nature that sheep are followers. Some are active followers, generally following the shepherd closely and paying attention and seldom wandering. Other sheep are more passive or inactive in varying degrees. They may be peaceful, yet lacking energy or will. Therefore, they are relaxed, inattentive, and often lagging behind. And unfortunately, in this situation, they are generally wandering out of the hearing distance of the shepherd. And most probably, they're walking along the neighbor's fence. Shepherds call them fence crawlers. And as already suggested, we need to remember that all sheep wander in various degrees at certain times in their lives. But not all wandering sheep become lost. However, being lost is the result of unchecked wandering. You know, I believe the greatest cause for wandering away from God is a failure to diligently apply oneself and to properly handle the word of truth, which is pleasing to God. In other words, wandering sheep are just not paying attention to God's will, nor are they staying in close contact with the chief shepherd. Therefore, how can they walk hand in hand with Jesus? How can they follow Jesus like we were singing in the songs that we just got through singing? You know, I think this is a good place to mention that the elders of the church are under shepherds of the flock, while Jesus is the chief shepherd as representative of the true owner of the flock. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 through 4. And this brings up another important point in our lesson, and that is elders have the primary responsibility of overseeing and keeping watch over the flock. That is, making sure they stay within full sight and hearing distance of the chief shepherd. We notice in Acts the 20th chapter, verse 28, the elders must first take heed to themselves before they can take care of the flock. And this is a good place to consider Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 10. And this is where God warns faithful about unfaithful shepherds that they must pay attention to hear the word of the Lord. And why is that? Because the Lord holds them accountable for the proper care of the flock. Therefore, faithful elders, as under-shepherds, must follow the instructions of the chief shepherd, such as recorded in the parable of the wandering sheep. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 12, 13, and 14, and I read, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish." Elders, take note. The flock does not belong to you. You are simply a mature sheep of that flock, where the Holy Spirit has set you in place as an overseer and caretaker of the Lord's flock. Now, when we look at the parable, it makes it very clear that the Lord will come looking for sheep who wander from the fold. And I think that he does that through the auspices of the elders and other spiritual workers who serve as his helpers. And you know, the Lord's message is very plain. He cares about his sheep and will passionately pursue those that wander. And when lost sheep are found, the chief shepherd is very, very happy. Why is that? Because souls are saved. And you know, we all must have that very same attitude that our chief shepherd has. Question number two. What causes us to leave the safety and the blessings of God's people? And I think this question addresses, number one, the reasons for abiding in the fellowship of the flock, and number two, consideration of congregational problems that can cause members to wander from that flock. You know, our status as either faithful sheep or wandering sheep also depends upon the relational interaction with one another. That is, we need each other. And as already mentioned, elders are not the only ones in the congregation that have a responsibility to detect and assist wandering sheep. Galatians 6 and 1 instructs us that when a lamb of God is detected as drifting away into sin, those who are spiritual should restore such a one in a gentle and loving manner. And I believe within a congregation there are three levels of responsibility toward wandering sheep. Number one, all Christians have a responsibility to help fellow members that are wandering or lost. Number two, Christians who are spiritually mature, that is, keeping in step with the Spirit, have a greater responsibility toward weaker Christians who may be wandering. Mature Christians should be able to recognize the temptation that is luring the brother or sister to wander. Number three, the highest level of responsibility, of course, rests upon the eldership. They must be watchful and available 24/7. Elders must use loving discretion in a positive, cheerful attitude to successfully work with wanderers. The eldership, I think, should keep a current book on each member, identifying sheep that tend to wander and those that are just unwilling to submit to instructions and encouragement. And this requires periodic assessment of the strengths and weaknesses of each member. You know, good leaders must be aware of the deep needs of each member, not simply what appears on the surface. But you know, there is something truly blessed about remaining in close fellowship with God's people. Being faithful requires it, while wandering ignores it. Faithfulness is constantly looking toward the shepherd and listening. Wandering occurs when taking our eyes off of the shepherd. And when this happens, we will quickly find ourselves beyond the hearing and seeing distance of the sheep and the fold, the shepherd and the fold. And this leads to a greater concern, which is straying beyond the understanding difference of the chief shepherd. And unless someone cares enough to help us turn around, we will become helplessly lost. So you say, what can cause us to turn away and wander from the fold? Well, there's one situation that I believe can affect the church today, just as it did the early church in Revelation, the second chapter in verse 4. And that is leaving our first love. And this has been addressed already. I mean, all of these topics are going together. But leaving our first love, or letting go of that initial enthusiastic love for the Lord and one another. This is a sign of decline that bears watching, because it can cause members to cease from walking circumspectly, allowing their enthusiasm to be redirected to the things of the world, to the exclusion of spiritual things. And you know, we are warned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, leaving one's first love will arrest spiritual development. And I believe this is a precursor to wandering away from the flock. But, you know, there are also many personal reasons a believer wanders away. And we'll consider a few of them as time permits. But, you know, there's two cases of falling away in the early church that I want to mention. Aquila and Priscilla in Jerusalem and Simon in Samaria. It appears to be the results of greed. And I think that's all I need to say on that point. Another cause is anxiety. And I can relate to this one. Anxiety can cause members to wander from the fold, especially anxiety caused by conflict with the leadership, with other church members, or even conflict within one's own family. Members may also become wanderers from boredom or apathy. And when this happens, it doesn't take long to begin reinvesting time and energy in other pursuits, community, family activities, whatever kind of activities that will use our energy and our time. Others become wanderers because of a change in motivation, which can be brought on by the loss of a spouse or a friend who has encouraged them to be active in the church. All of these different kinds of changes and many more that I haven't time to mention really signal a loss of commitment to one's spiritual or Christian relationship. Now, another problem which may originate within the sheepfold is the failure of fellow members to contact wandering sheep. This only reinforces their notion that no one in the church family really cares for them anyway. This is something for us to seriously think about. We must remember that keeping all members active and involved in the local congregation has a big impact on whether they wander or remain faithful. Supportive relationships will minimize wandering sheep. I didn't say it would stop it. It will minimize it. Do you realize that most wandering is not a result of blatant sin? Also, surveys have indicated that males tend to wander more frequently than females, and young people more frequently than older people. But just consider this. Young people can be caused to wander by the improper examples of their parents or other older members. So it's a warning to us. We need to beware lest any of us cause a weaker sheep to wander. And don't forget, it can happen to any of us. I don't care if we're younger or if we're older. It can happen. Even the early disciples were prone to wandering. And yes, the apostles are included. Let's listen in Mark, the 14th chapter, verse 27. And Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But remember Peter, he very emphatically denied that he would wander. In verse 29, Peter said to him, well, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. But you know what? He did. He stumbled. He strayed for a time. Therefore, if we're feeling rather smug about standing firm and not wondering, we need to take heed lest we fall. Number four, do we leave because we want other food or because we aren't getting fed? Now, this question involves the primary responsibility of the elders, that is, feeding and caring for the flock. Now, sometimes God's people wander away from the flock when they become dissatisfied with the daily manna from God. In which case, They usually develop an appetite for some new modern fare, or else they long for the taste of the past. However, it is also possible that members are caused to wander by improper feeding within the congregation. And this is the responsibility of the eldership to manage the feeding program of the flock, making sure each member receives the proper ration. Again, Philip Keller writes in that book I mentioned that if sheep can say, "I shall not want," in other words, lacking and deficient in proper care or management, they will be least likely to wander. These sheep are contented in the Good Shepherd's care and consequently not craving or desiring anything more. However, in spite of providing good care and proper food, some members are still not content to abide in the flock, and they're always wandering. They are perpetually dissatisfied, always imagining that the grass on the other side of the fence is, yes, a little greener. These are carnal Christians, fence crawlers, if you will, who want both of best worlds, they want the best of both worlds. Most flocks, I believe, have a few restless, discontented fence crawlers. And you know what? They are the most troublesome for the shepherd, requiring the most attention. So if you are a fence crawler, try to remedy that situation. The elders will appreciate it very much. Let me suggest some good scriptural guidelines for the proper care of sheep that will, again, minimize wandering, not necessarily stop it. Number one, shepherds must know their sheep by name. John 10, verse 3. Number two, shepherds must develop an intimate relationship with the flock. And I think we look at the parable. Jesus, in the parable of the lost sheep, assumes the shepherd is intimately aware when a sheep is missing or weak or sick or hungry or discouraged or sad, or walking disorderly, causing trouble in the flock. Number three, shepherds must lead their sheep by their voice. John 10, 4. That is, they lead by living and teaching the truth. And the sheep then will follow by listening to their voice and watching their steps. 1 Peter 5, 3. Number four, shepherds must defend their sheep, even at the risk of their own lives. And the chief shepherd has provided the example. He said, "I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, Paul's instructions to the elders in Acts, the 20th chapter, verses 29 through 31, it makes it plain that elders must keep false doctrine at bay, because doctrinal disparity and intra-congregational conflict will lead to wandering. Of this, I am sadly aware. You know, elders must closely monitor the teaching in the congregation to prevent discouragement and error from causing members to wander away from the flock. Number five, shepherds must be knowledgeable and aware of common illnesses that affect the flock. You know, I think shepherds should lead a ministry for the sick. And this would include members who are weak and struggling from illness, sadness, heartaches, anxiety, depression, and other forms of mental maladies. These are likely to be associated together with spiritual weakness and wandering. And just reference James 5, verses 14 and 15 on that thought. But obviously, elders should lead a proactive ministry for the spiritually sick members. And number six, shepherds must use patience and a gentle hand to control the sheep. Elders must not lord it over or be heavy-handed in the use of authority in caring for church members. They must not have a depressive aura, but must be positive, cheerful and yet being sound and firm. Our final question. What things can we do to avoid being a wandering sheep? This question involves the remedial action necessary to minimize members from staying away from God. And if you're looking for definitive answers, you know, this is a very general remarks that I'm making. I realize there's so many situations that we go through and we learn as we go. But Philip Keller said in this regard, he said, you know, it's easy for people like sheep to become restless, unsettled, covetous, greedy for more, wanting this or that, never really satisfied in the spirit. And he's made this comment, and I agree. These are guaranteed to be wandering sheep. You know, wandering can be characterized by taking our eyes off the shepherd, or else closing our ears to his word. And therefore, we need to heed the words of the song that was led before we started our service. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light and the glory of his glory and grace. You know, I am convinced that believers need to get in touch with God and then draw nearer, still nearer to him in order to combat the problems of wandering and being lost. Hebrews 7:25 is a reference to look on that. You know, faithful Christians, and this has been pointed out, the word chosen has been used already, but faithful Christians have chosen to follow Jesus. Wandering sheep have chosen not to follow Jesus. And that's what it boils down to. Elders and other members can only help if wanderers allow them to do so. So may the Lord help us all to remember how much our Heavenly Father cares about each one of us. In fact, so much so that He sent His only begotten Son to seek and to save that which was lost. My prayer is that we will remember that our Heavenly Father is not willing that any of His sheep should perish. Therefore, may all Christians be very diligent to work together so all wandering sheep will return in repentance. And may God's richest blessings be upon all His sheep as we follow the great shepherd as he leads us toward the hilltops of glory. And I thank you for your kind attention.